Today, here at Brookings Radio, we welcome District 7 candidate for the House of Representatives, Melissa Hierman. Melissa, good to see you once again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
And this is my typical first question. Why are you running for the House of Representatives?
I'm running because I have a genuine care for people. I have spent the last 6 years on the school board through the good times and the bad times, really trying to pour myself into the community and advocate for our students and families. And it's been a pretty impactful, you know, few years to be on the board. You know, since I was a small child, it's always been instilled in me that you give back to your community, and that's a responsibility that we all have, and I take that very seriously.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my husband, Cody, and I, we've been married 19 years. 15 of those have been here in Brookings. And I work at the Brookings Health System, but I did spend about 16 years at Daktronix before that. I'm currently the director of the revenue cycle, and what that means is I oversee medical health records, coding, registration. I also am in the role of their HIPAA privacy officer.
Let's talk about some of the issues.
Sure.
Generally, in peerage year, the budget is the overriding issue. Whether that will be next year or not, who knows? But what are your thoughts on the state budget, and what's your philosophy on the state budget?
I'm really interested to see how things start coming together. We've had really unique years with COVID, the extra money coming in, and inflation happening. I am really interested to dig in and see how things start shaping up, what they look like, and where we can start advocating for funds to go. I do really support public education. I think that teacher pay is an important issue. And I'll be very vested in understanding how the budget will help support our staff retaining and attracting teachers to help support our student education for the next year and on.
There's a big unknown out there, and that is the proposal from the governor to eliminate the sales tax on food, which could mean $100 million less in the budget unless it's made up somehow. Where do you stand on the sales tax on food, and would you vote for it today on eliminating it?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's something that I'm going to have to really consider carefully. $108 million reduction is a lot, but I really think it's deserving of a conversation. So I'm interested to see what the governor proposes, what will be part of that, and then have some good discussion around what that looks like.
You mentioned education. Is teacher pay your number one priority? Is it curriculum? Is it where are you standing on education right now?
There's so many topics with education, isn't there? I think teacher pay is right up there. I don't know how we can do justice to our families and students if we're not able to retrain and attract talent. Another is the juvenile justice study that's been done over the summer. I've been trying to follow up with that as well. It has a mental health component to that.
And ties right into education.
Right. So I'm really kind of vested to see how that's going to turn out and what bills might come out of that work also. And of course, the social studies standards. A lot of concerns in the community as I've been going around talking to educators and community members about the representation of who is on the deciding board for that, as well as is the curriculum appropriate, developmentally appropriate for the different ages. So all of that will be part of education, and I'm sure many other topics.
What role would the legislature have in the social studies standards? Because it's with the board right now, and
yeah.
It seems like they have the say.
Absolutely. It will be up to them. But I do get the question a lot about the social studies standards, but yeah, it will be up to them.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about it too, but
yeah.
You're not ready already. Housing has become a big issue. One program has already been put in place by the state, a new one, in addition to some that had been there before. Can the legislature do more? Do you have any thoughts on that?
And I think we have tried to do some different things for affordable housing over the years. I know there have been some challenges with that and how we can help developers to enable neighborhoods for affordable housing and how that can turn out to be still sustainable projects for them. With the infrastructure bill, I know that there's been a lot of questions about that. My understanding on that is there's still $150 million that's sort of hung up on needing additional guidance. And so the South Dakota Housing Authority had those funds now. They generally work with grants. And so they're looking for additional guidance. But I think we need to make sure that we take that money and get it into the hands of the community where it can do some good.
I know Brookings is among the communities very interested in that.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
South Dakota remains, I believe, the only state in the nation without pre-K childcare funded by the state. Would you like to see that change?
I think that's definitely an area that could be beneficial for South Dakota. And I think it's proven to already be value added in other areas. It wouldn't be recreating the wheel by any means. So that would be an important topic coming up and could add great value to all of our constituents.
When you decided to run, you may not have expected abortion to be a major issue in your first session if you're elected, but it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on South Dakota's trigger law and what the legislature might do?
Yeah. Perry, I am pro-life. I don't look at abortion as a means for birth control. And I don't support, just with my own personal values, elected scheduled procedures for abortion to be right. When I think through the topic overall, I do, looking at the trigger law, there are a handful of topics that will require, demand additional thought. One of those, for example, is miscarriages. So a miscarriage in the medical record is noted as a spontaneous abortion. We don't want providers to be in a place where they're worried about liability or breaking the law or felonies if they're going to be needing to require or, excuse me, if they're going to be needing to support a mother through what is a pretty devastating experience. And this topic is very heated because at the end of the day, a lot of it is about tragedy. It's about actual people and humans. And I think it can be desired that it's very black and white, but the truth of the matter is it's a complicated issue. And I just think it has to be approached with this respect, this posture of, you know, dignity for the mother and care for all the lives involved. And some of the handful of items that are going to require additional discussion is they're going to include health and safety of the mother, and as well as just, you know, pregnancies that end up being non-viable, stillbirth, miscarriage, some of those items. So that's where I'm sitting with the issue right now. And I think that what I'd like the constituents to know is that this is a topic that is close to my heart, and I will approach it with as much love and grace and respect as possible when we get to the session in January.
Other than the issues we've discussed, Melissa, anything else you'd like to work on if you're elected?
You know, we talked about a lot of the big ones. The mm-hmm. workforce shortages are affecting everybody across the board, but certainly are affecting us in the community here. We see it in all industries, from fast food to the hospital and everywhere in between. We need to be able to be in a place where we can fill those jobs to continue being successful and moving forward with our economy in South Dakota. And so that will also be top of mind as we go into the session to see what options that we would have to be able to help support eliminating these workforce shortages and allowing people to be able to get back to work in South Dakota.
One final question. Why should the voters of District 7 vote Melissa Hearman for State House?
Yeah. I think that I have had the opportunity to show voters what they can expect from me. I've been very consistent and reliable over the 6 years. I have cared and sincerely listened to constituents. I have shown that even in the face of people who disagree greatly with my positions, that I will listen and show respect and concern and really appreciate these other perspectives. You know, not everybody approaches disagreements in the same way. I really believe civil discourse is something we need to get back to as a society. We have struggled without it, and facing these issues with, you know, anger and contempt will only get us so far. We need to be able to have the ability to build relationships, get back at the table and talk to each other. And that's what you'll get from me. I think we need to really focus on our leadership and elevating the standards of leadership and what we hold them accountable for. And the voters have seen how I react in the good and the bad. And that's what they can expect from me and Pierre. I will show up. I will work hard. I will listen to the voters. And I will do my very best for District 7.
Melissa Hearman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right here at Brookings Radio.